You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Are you ready?
Yeah, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DGen Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? The DGen Nation podcast coming at you live, recorded, everything above for the DFS breakdown of conference championship weekend. It is here. We got two more slates to break down for you guys. Conference championship, Super Bowl in 2 weeks. It's crazy. I can't believe this season is coming to an end, Kev. You know, usually at this time, and Kev, it's been a while. You know, I think, and I don't want to jinx it, but we've made it this far. Hell with it. Like, we're going to be doing this show. There's only one more show. I'm not jinxing it. We made it through a full season, Kev. I don't think there's been a time that we've done the show, and I'm coming back into the fold for a full season, where me and you have, where one of us hasn't missed. Obviously, you know, with it being just the two of us holding it down the fort, it's a little bit different than years past. But you know, we've given it to the streets, you know, for the DGen Nation fam to be able to break down every slate, which is good. You know, if you want to throw out a Cal Ripken record, or you know, some of those longstanding records of not missing games, you know, who you want to throw out is Kevin Byard. Kev, you know, I'm going to derail this. This is probably the longest intro that I'll have, but Kevin Byard, this, I need to look this up because I've seen it in two places. I need a third. Has never missed an NFL game in his career. It's insane. He's always been healthy for an NFL game, a safety, mind you, just like the luck that you need to have, one, to just be able to sustain that, but two, just an incredible feat. So yeah, we're the Cal Ripken, we're the Kevin Byard of the DFS breakdowns here. Kev, talk to the people. How you doing? How you feeling? And how are we going to break down this 2-game slate?
It's an interesting one for sure, just because of you have really, I mean, four pretty solid defenses across the board on all four, right? So, like, there's not, like, this obvious attacking point. I think there's, you know, there's definitely still some places we can go. Like, it's not as that bad, but, like, I still think there's going to be some really obvious points where I think where, you know, on a 2-game slate, you know, you're going to have to play some of the chalk. Like, you're not going to be able to get away from it. It just really depends on, like, what's good chalk and what's bad chalk on the slate, because, you know, just obviously like Puka Nacua and JSN are both going to be massively chalk because they're the two best wide receivers on the slate. It's not even close. They're the two that's going to project the best. So like, you know, that's one avenue that we're definitely going to have to look at. But I think there's a lot of other plays than what you could pass those guys, because some of these teams like really kind of spread the ball around a lot, like the Patriots, the Broncos, where we also got some, you know, some surprising injury stuff, you know, already happened this week with, you know, Pat Bryant, who was ruled out with a concussion last week. He's back already been, you know, that's playoffs, right? Playoffs come, you know, concussion protocol doesn't matter anymore. Get your ass back out there. Hey, here's a couple Advil. Get back out there. You're playing. So, you know, we also have the J.K. Dobbins news that we're going to have to monitor. You know, he's, you know, looking like he could be back. They opened up his practice window. He's getting limited practices. So I think there's some avenues to attack anyways on the slate.
No, definitely some avenues to attack, and that's why we do it, Kev. That's why we break them down. We got the two-gamer, New England and visiting Denver, and the Rams visiting Seattle on Sunday, and we're going to break it down for the people as we normally do: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, defense, build that Millie Maker team. It's the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF underscore authority is where you can find us on Twitter and X. I'm Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter and X at Ryan Alexander underscore W, and joined as always by the usual suspect, the godfather himself of TFA, Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Rat 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Kev, you know, with these four teams that are set to take on each other, you know, these have been, if we would have gotten Bo Nix, it would have been even that much more fun. I know we get the value with Jarrett Stidham, but like thinking about these four quarterbacks being the last four standing quarterbacks, I mean, sure, Matthew Stafford, you can say what you want about him, but I really don't think there were too many people who were picking the Rams to be in this spot where they are now. Obviously, you know, with the West out there, just the division that they play in and having as many teams as they did was absolutely incredible. Three teams, but you know, just a little bit older and you know, are they going to hit their stride and things like that? Defense definitely has come on strong. But like, but he's, you know, Hall of Famer, right? Like we could just put him in the bucket, like playoff pedigree. Okay, that's it. Then we got Sam Darnold, we got Drake May, we got now Jarrett Stidham, which would have been Bo Nix. Like the other three remaining quarterbacks standing. Like, what is going on here? You know, people say there's the script on the NFL. I don't know if this was necessarily scripted. I think that you could throw that out the window in some way, shape, or form. We got no Patty Mahomes. We got no two Super Bowl contenders aren't in it. You know, we don't got Burrow. We don't got Lamar. We don't got Josh Allen. Like these guys who have just had pedigrees and have been in these spots time and time again. You know, we definitely have a changing of the guard here. So it is interesting. These are also like three of the four I'm going to scratch Denver. Two of the three quarterback situations are probably two of the most frustrating quarterback situations that we've had like all year. Like, I mean, Drake May, you know, to a certain extent, which Drake, I'm not going to say a damn thing about Drake May because I got on him late last week and I had been trying to attack him all playoffs and it finally came to fruition last week. But even then, like traveling to Denver, it's like, you know, he's got to play a mile high. It's not in front of the home crowd in Foxborough. Like he's been frustrating from time and time again. The nice thing about Drake May is we can always make up for that with the rushing upside and the wheels that he gives you. Then you got Sam Darnold on the other side. Okay, he's in a home game. This defense is like literally could carry, you know, Rex Grossman, like, you know, Mitch Trubisky to, you know, the promised land, probably the way the defense is playing. So like all Sam Darnold needs to do right is not turn the ball over, Kev, which, you know, we've seen him do time and time again. You know, just flashback a year ago when he was with Minnesota and, you know, really just, you know, laid one of the worst performances out, you know, in a playoff setting. And so now he has a chance to get the team, you know, in a spot to be in a Super Bowl, really just one of the more insane redemption stories that I can think of, you know, in the NFL, let alone quarterback position. But, you know, this Rams defense is no slouch. This is, you know, a divisional matchup there that they have, and these two teams know each other. So, you know, it's tough to even want to trust him. And then we have Jarrett Stidham, who comes in at 4,500, Kev, and he's kind of the key, right? Like he's the skeleton key. Not the free square, mind you, but like he's the dude where you're like, okay, can we build around this to get in Puka, to get in JSN and just start from there? Like Kenneth Walker, like he just allows you to fit all the dudes if you take one of these, you know, cheap pass catchers from Denver. Now you just threw out the wrench, Kev, in the whole cog in the system. Like if we get a full slew of Denver, you know, wide receiver wide receiver group that we were expecting to be down maybe, you know, one or if not two, right, and Troy Franklin and Pat Bryant, that made things a little bit more digestible to be able to stack them with because there were less people that we had to choose from. Now we get a wide open Denver room potentially, and we have no idea like what, you know, who he favors. Like I'm thinking about like, is Evan Engram even going to be in play with Jared Stidham coming back in the mouth? So it really muddies the situation, but that is probably the cheap way to be able to fit in some of these guys. I mean, Matthew Stafford being at 6,300, Kev, like if I was playing 3-max this weekend, I don't know. Right now, I'm just from a single entry mindset. It's only a 2-game slate, so that's where I'm starting my builds. It's like the Rams are so expensive. Anytime they could definitely, you know, put up points, but they're so expensive that it makes it really tough to say in one lineup that you're going to stack Matthew with, you know, with Devontae, with Puka. Is Kyren going to catch one, you know, again, type of thing, as he did a couple weeks ago? The tight end room is just, you know, littered with dudes. It's just really, really tough to be able to pick and choose Rams for me this week. And then Drake May, you know, he's going to be the most popular quarterback, you know, and we just had a week ago where he was kind of flying under the radar on a slate. So I think for me, like, I'm going to just pay attention to this Denver situation, Kev. Like, I'm playing Stidham. I mean, he's 4,500, and it seems gross. It's the first game of the slate. But, like, you know, at that price tag, like, just let me try and get some of these high-priced guys, figure it out. Still trying to dive through the running back situation, but I want to get leverage there somehow. But, you know, if we're going to get a quarterback starter, you know, in a playoff game, like, who are they going to go to, Kev? Like, if it's not Stidham. And this New England defense is – that, you know, they've played well, you know, well above their skis too, but they've showed vulnerable spots as well. And again, they're not playing at home. They got to travel to Denver. That place is going to be rocking. So I'm willing to lean into that. And then Kev, I think for me, like, you know, like I said, Drake May, he was my dude last week, but I'm going to give Darnold a chance. Like, and honestly, it's a 2-game slate. I know I want to play one of the dudes, right, that he's throwing the ball to in JSN. Like, I want to play him. So if he's doing well, like, Darnold might be doing well. I think that there's still cheap pass catchers on the Seattle side that really make it intriguing. You know, Shaheed, you know, he's playing out there and then being able to return kicks. Cooper Kupp in a revenge game. You know, I'm always going to talk about that, Kev. Like, Cooper's been getting going late. And then A.J. Barner just came off of a disappointment. But, you know, he's been in the mix. And then when you factor in, right, that Zach Charbonnet, you know, tears his ACL, I believe, last week, right? And, like, Kenneth Walker will probably be one of the top three popular – I shouldn't say top three, top four, I guess, with the two wide receivers, more popular plays on the slate. Like, I'm just going to take leverage on that, because what have I said all year, Kev? Like, I cannot trust the Seattle backfield. I don't care. And that's two guys, right? But, like, now I don't even know what they're going to do. You know, they activate George Olani or whatever the guy's name is in the backfield. Like, is he going to get touches to be able to, you know, break out? There's just a simple rule, Kev. It's I play Kenneth Walker when he's not popular. I don't play him when he's popular. And I just can't think of it in any way different than that, especially on one lineup. If I was building, you know, 3-max, if I was building 20-max, of course I would have exposure to him. I'm not talking about full fade. But if I was doing single entry, I would be looking for ways to get leverage where I could. And that's one of the spots for me. So for me, I think the two guys that I'm going to try and build around are Stidham and Darnold as it stands right now. Kev, what say you to the slate? And how are you looking to attack the quarterback position this week?
I do like the Stidham angle of this slate, because he is a competent, like, backup quarterback. And we've seen in other spots, yes, very limited sample. Like, it's not, he's not somebody that's, like, started all season. But, like, in spots, he has been somebody that has been capable, a capable backup. He is brings something with his legs. I think that's a plus. He's had, you know, multiple games over 40 rushing yards and his limited opportunities. I mean, he also, if you played DFS in the preseason, he absolutely crushed it in the preseason this year. Now, again, it's preseason, but still, like, so there is competence here. So, like, you're not like, it's not like some of the other backup quarterbacks that might get thrown in here where you just want no part of it. And he's super cheap. He's 4,500. He kind of unlocks everything for the slate. And right now, like, he does look like he is going to be on the lower owned side. And if that's the case, then, I mean, I think he's a pretty decent play. I think that when you look at Stidham, you know, in terms of stacking partners, like, I think that's tough. you know, but like you could look at somebody like a Pat Bryant who probably has spent time, especially earlier in the year when he really wasn't getting a lot of run with somebody like Stidham that maybe built some sort of rapport with him, because kind of what you tend to see when these quarterbacks come in. Do they try to get, you know, Evan Ingram more involved? Maybe, you know, as I will say, at the very least here with someone like Evan Ingram, that is an area that the Patriots have struggled is to defend opposing tight ends. A shame we didn't really get to see it last week with the Texans because Dalton Schultz went out early in that game with an injury. But, you know, Evan Ingram is another spot you go to. And especially, let's be honest, the tight end slate on this is absolutely horrific. It is gross. But I think Stidham stands out to me as a value. I think what, you know, Drake May is definitely going to be the most owned quarterback on this slate. And, you know, but I don't think that he is, like, so far and away a better option. Like, I don't see Drake May coming in and dropping, like, a 30-burger or something like that, right? I think he could get you 20 to 23 DraftKings points, I think, something like that. And if Stidham can get you 16 to 18, I think you feel pretty good about it in terms of how much money you're saving, the salary you're saving with him. So I like Stidham as a salary saver. I think as far as the Rams game is concerned, what worries me on the Seattle side is, one, Sam Darnold. We have seen Sam Darnold time and time again, you know, in pressure spots, really pissed down his leg. Last week, he wasn't challenged at all in that game. I mean, the Seahawks curb stomped the 49ers. There was no reason for them to really do anything. I think, you know, JSN ran 17 routes in that game, right? Like, it was over. And so, like, we really haven't seen this now. And there's some issues here because, like, Charles Cross, our starting left tackle, is going to be out. They're missing a couple other tackles. Like, they could be on their fifth or sixth string tackle here in this game. And so do we see the Rams bring heavy pressure here? They're also missing Zach Charbonnet, who is their pass protection running back. That's why he plays a lot on third downs. You know, and now you're asking Kenneth Walker to do these things. And so, like, how does this affect Sam Darnold and this offense? So, like, it makes me a little bit more nervous to play someone like Sam Darnold, because I think there's a world here where this offense doesn't look nearly as good as what we've seen earlier, you know, in this season. And, you know, Sam Darnold just doesn't play very well. That's where, like, so for me, like, I think I would have to go to Matt Stafford as the other side, just because I feel really good about this for the most part. You know, we have seen this game twice already this year. Just actually a few weeks ago, this was like a barn burner 37-38 game. Both these teams went off. That was the game that Puka Nacua had over 200 receiving yards, two touchdowns. You had a monster game there. Stafford scored 30 DraftKings points. So the only thing that scares you with Stafford is he just hasn't really looked as good in really like the last 3 or 4 weeks. Like, you know, in the playoffs, he hasn't really been fantastic. You know, last week against the Bears, like, he kind of figured it out really late in that game, until they, you know, tore the heart out of, you know, the Bears with that late interception. We should be talking about,
like, we don't need to get that detailed with it, you know, and just say what you need to say and then we can keep moving.
But anyways, so like, those are going to be the two quarterbacks that I go with. It's probably going to be Stafford and it's going to be Stidham. I think are the two sides that I'm going to want to go with. I don't mind going with Drake May. Like, I'll probably play the 20 entry max, stuff like that. So I'll have some Drake May, but I'll probably just be underweight to the field because I think he's going to be by far the highest owned quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the telltale sign right there for me is, you know, from an ownership standpoint. And I do like him. I just like him as a player, like him as a quarterback. I think he, you know, he's balling. And if they, you know, give him his flowers, if they're able to, you know, travel into Denver and do what they need to do to be able to take care of business. I know the Denver, you know, defense in that game, you know, Denver just kind of got littered with injuries all across the board, you know, in that game. They had Troy Franklin and Pat Bryant leave, you know, Pat Surtain leaves the game for a little bit, then comes back. I know they had a couple other pieces on defense who are banged up and, you know, they might be healthy, quote unquote, on paper, right? But, you know, I think there's some ways to definitely take advantage of that defense. And it makes sense. I mean, he's got explosive plays, you know, with his feet and you know, with that arm to be able to throw. I get it, Kev, of not trusting Sam Darnold. You know, we've seen it time and time again of him disappoint. Plus, he's got the oblique still that he's dealing with, right? Like, I don't think that changes in a week. So, you know, but luckily, as you said, he didn't have to do much. Now, do you have to do a little bit more against this Rams team? We shall see. But I think he definitely provides leverage from my standpoint on where the field will be going this week. Let's go ahead.
I just want to say, like, I guess, like, the question would be, like, for Drake May, like, how does Drake May fail, like, and not get there? I think, one, like, it really hasn't been talked about with as much of them because they've won both of their games, but he has not played really well, like, in either playoff game. Now, don't get me wrong. Chargers defense, Texas defense are both, you know, two of the best defense, especially the Texans, best defense in the league. Texas should have won that game. You know, if Stroud doesn't turn the ball over 47 times, you know, they probably win that game. But I will say the thing that worries me with Drake May is he has been sacked now on 14% of his dropbacks through in the playoffs right now. And that is by far the highest rate. He's the only quarterback that is, you know, in double digits here in terms of, you know, percentage of dropbacks that he's been sacked on so far. And this offensive line is not going to get any better. Now you're facing a defense that it by far and away led the league in sacks. And the one thing that this defense does really well is getting pressure on quarterbacks. We have seen Drake May turn the ball over multiple times. They did it last week. I mean, he turned the ball over multiple times and somehow won, but that's because, you know, Stroud was even worse. But so, like, and now you're on the road. And so, like, you know, we'll see here how this plays out. But, you know, the Denver defense has their other issue, I think, on the secondary side. But if this pass rush gets to Drake May, like, I think that's how he fails. This doesn't really get there. And so, you know, I just wanted to bring that up, but because I feel like everyone's going to want to play Drake May. But, like, again, Drake May is averaging 222 passing yards per game. He does have the four touchdown pass. I will say, when he's needed to make a play, he's been able to do that. You know, he's had some big time throws, you know, especially inside the red zone. But as far as his defense is concerned, like, this is still one of the better secondaries in terms of, you know, you have Patrick Surtain back there. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how this is going to play with him, because he has struggled a lot. Now, he's gotten passes because they've won both the games against the Chargers and as well as against the Texans. But if these teams don't turn the ball over at this high rate, you know, like they did, you know, we're probably not talking about the Patriots being in the playoffs. And there's probably more conversation about Drake May and, you know, how he's played in these playoffs. But they're going to figure something out with this offensive line, because Will Campbell, you know, their top five pick in this year's draft is not it. He is not the answer at left tackle. This dude is getting absolutely abused. I think Nick Benito could have a field day, you know, with him. And so if they're able to get a lot of pressure and get more turnovers on this team, you know, this could be a game where this game can get away from the Patriots pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, you know, it's only a two-game slate, so we can keep it open-ended as we do usually when we're breaking down slates like this. But, like, Broncos defense is one of my more favorite plays on the slate. I mean, especially if I'm not having exposure to Drake May. You talked about it, like, the explosive plays that could be happening in that late game as well, too. Like, you know, why risk taking the Seattle defense or the Rams defense to be able to give up points? I think this game has a clear path of playing to the under. The way that, you know, these two teams set up. And, you know, if he's going to be the more popular play on the slate, it's just easy for me to be able to get to that Broncos D there. You hit it on the head, right? That's what we want. Like, we want, you know, we want pressure. We want turnovers. So even if they're, you know, letting them drive the field. And that's the thing. Like, the Broncos are more of like that bend but don't break defense. Like, they just, you know, they'll let you do whatever you want in between the 20s, but I do feel like when they get down, really need to get a stop there in that red zone, they make it tough on opponents. So that's definitely intriguing to me. Kev, let's let's open it up from the running back standpoint too, because I think, you know, I would love to talk about pass catchers with these, you know, with these quarterbacks that we're attacking, but really, you know, the slate is probably going to be won by what you do at the running back position. You know, we don't have Zach Charbonnet for Kenneth Walker, you know, on paper, probably one of the better plays that we've had in the playoffs. He's 6,200. He's coming off of 3-touchdown game where he could absolutely get everything going. You know, the Bears, unfortunately, weren't able to get as much out of the run game that I thought that they would want to. But, you know, if Seattle was able to, you know, make some moves in the trenches there, he could really be in for a good game. And like you said, Kat, if we're thinking, you know, Sam Darnold in these spots, not really one that you want to trust of him slinging it, you know, 35 plus times, you know, lean on the guy, Kenneth Walker, and see what he could do. Now, these spots always worry me, Kev, is because, like, are they going to even trust Kenneth Walker to do that? Two, if he does get the trusted workload, is he going to do what he did last week when it wasn't expected? Now they have all this film, you know, they have film on him. This is a team that, you know, they face time and time again. Like, is that going to be what they commit to, is just like, get Kenneth Walker out of this game and make Sam Darnold beat us in the discussion? So it does worry me that he is going to be one of the more popular plays on the slate. I still think Ramondre Stevenson is just a great play. Like, the pass catching work that he's seeing now, and the workload that he's seeing in this backfield at 6K just make a ton of sense to be able to get to him. Trevion Henderson is just, you know, been in there to kind of spell him and kind of almost an afterthought, so not really worried about that. And then I think, you know, to a certain extent, like, Kyren might be the leverage play, even further leverage play, like, off of Kenneth Walker in the same game. He's only $300 more. They have shown a propensity to, you know, get him more involved. I don't know if Adams is still kind of reeling from something. You know, he's banged up a little bit heading into the playoffs, and then, you know, through the playoffs, it's kind of been, you know, titter-tat for him as well too. He's still getting end zone targets when he's been out there, but, you know, the fact that we can see how things play out with the Rams, right? We just saw it last week. Is like, Kyren Williams can be the cog to get this team to their, you know, implied team total. So I do like him quite a bit. RJ, you know, so for me, I think, you know, it'll probably start with Stevenson for me, because I think his workload has been solid. If I can, you know, if the lineup works where I can fit Kenneth Walker in, I don't have salary to get up to Kyren, I'll consider playing Kenneth Walker. If we have a muddy backfield with Denver, I think RJ Harvey would be my next favorite play. I just play two running backs from that first game. If J.K. Dobbins is not going to be out there, if J.K. Dobbins is active on Sunday, it definitely muddies things for me, and it's gonna be tough. But, you know, when we have a quarterback who's coming in to the helm, right, I think, you know, they'll probably try and play it safe, Kev. Like, Harvey was out there, like, catching some passes out of the backfield again, albeit it was, you know, a different quarterback who was out there. But I think they're, you know, Sean Payton's smart enough, like, he can scheme some things to Harvey, scheme some things to maybe the tight ends, and, you know, try and make things work when people are trying to guess who the pass catchers are, right, from a wide receiver standpoint. I'd be willing to go Harvey. What I didn't like about Harvey last week was how popular he was, and that's kind of like the Kenneth Walker thing for me this week. But, you know, he showed a propensity that they trust him, and I'm willing to, you know, go to that realm if we get more clarity on what the backfield is looking like. If J.K. Dobbins is out there, it makes it tough, and I'll just try and, you know, get to that later game. You know, I don't know, Kev. Like, outside of that, like, I really just think you're wish casting. I mean, the next guy would probably be Blake Corum at 5K. If you could talk yourself into that, you know, I think we tried to think about that last week, and Kyren just ended up taking it from him. But, you know, he could always be in play because that exists. But I'm not getting to, you know, McLaughlin, even if, you know, there's no J.K. Dobbins. I just feel like it's thin. I'm not, you know, some of these other guys, like, I'm not getting to Helani on Seattle, not in single entry. So, you know, I really think that, you know, it's starts there. So I'm curious to hear where you're at, Kev, because, you know, I think for most people, it's going to be, you know, one back in the first game, one back in that second game. And that's how they're going to build. So I do think, you know, building in a way where you're taking two backs from either game and just saying that's the way you're approaching it is the leverage there. How are you feeling about running back this week?
It's really hard not to just play 100% Kenneth Walker because it's the best matchup on paper. The Rams do struggle at times against opposing running backs. Their last five games, they have allowed the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points to opposing running backs. And now you don't have Zach Charbonnet back there taking touches away from him. So he's going to be the workhorse back. And right now he's actually projecting just as high as Puka Nacua and JSN. Like, they are tied in projection. They're all tied with 22 drafting points. And then, like, the next closest, like, position player is RJ Harvey at 14.7. So, like, it's hard not to, like, love Kenneth Walker just lock button a bit because he's just probably not going to come off the field unless an injury happens or something. But, yeah, maybe George Lanyon will mix in here, you know, maybe on a drive or some plays, stuff like that. But this is going to be Kenneth Walker's backfield. We know how super explosive that he is. I would assume that that's probably the path they're going to try to take is be a little bit more run-heavy, trust their defense here in Seattle. But he's also going to be utilized in the passing game. Like, it makes it really hard whenever you're a player that you're going to be able to project to touch the ball 20-plus times, heavily involved, you know, can be involved in the passing game, and he's going to get all the goal line work. And so, like, it just makes it really hard not to just to get away from him. I think the next running back I do like is Ramondre. You know, last week it was frustrating because if you remember, he left for like, what was it, almost a quarter game. He got something in his eye, and like it was, but then he ended up coming back. But he still, even with missing, you know, that time, he still was still the workhorse there. He played 60% of the snaps, 50% of the rush attempts with a 14, almost 15% target share. And that, again, that was with him missing, you know, an entire quarter of that game because he got something in his eye. And so, you know, Travion Henderson still only carried the ball, played 39% of the snaps, 37% of the rush attempts with a 7% target share. And so I just think Ramondre makes a lot of sense. The matchup isn't great. I mean, the Broncos have been really solid against the run for most of the year, but where I like Ramondre is in the passing game. And so, like, you know, that's something that I would be looking for. RJ Harvey is tough because, you know, he's similar in the similar vein where he played 63% of the snaps last week against the Bills, 27% of the rush attempts, which is alarming. But he did see a 13% target share. He was targeted six times. And so, like, that's probably the path that you would like for him. Mm-hmm. You know, in this spot, but this is also a much different matchup here against the Patriots. But the Patriots, I've heard a lot of people talk about this defense, this rush defense, and say, like, you know, the last 6 weeks, you know, in the regular season, they really struggled against the run. But that was because they were missing Milton Williams. They were missing a lot of their pieces on this defense that are now back. Like, they have done a very good job in the playoffs against opposing running backs. And so I'm not as excited to play an RJ Harvey. Although I'd want to play him is mainly because I think his usage in the passing game, where if he could see six or seven targets, then yes, then I think he could be optimal. Because again, only a two game slate, there's probably not going to be, you know, multiple guys that really go off, and you're probably going to nail down the right combination. But, you know, I think that's how RJ Harvey gets there. He ran 50% of the routes, even with J.K. Dobbins back. Like, I don't think J.K. Dobbins would step in and just see this huge workload. I think he probably used like the early down kind of goal line back where RJ Harvey would still maintain the pass catching workload at third down back. I think that's probably where Harvey would check in. But I will say though, Harvey has not played well. Like, despite all that, like, he has just not been very good. Mega chalk last week. Good call by you, by, you know, saying that you wanted no part of playing RJ Harvey, especially at chalk that he was. And it just didn't really work out for him. And it really was a great matchup. I mean, the Bills' run defense has been horrific this year, and just he really couldn't get much going there. So, for me, top two, I think, is going to be Kenneth Walker, Ramondre. I don't mind Kyren. He is taking on a little bit
I'd say a little bit more of a workload. He had 21 rush attempts last week, 67% of the rush attempts, with an 11% target share. I think that was the area that I really wasn't expecting. He saw five targets in that game last week against the Bears, where like they typically haven't really been throwing the ball at all to their opposing to running backs. And so I you can play Kyron, but I will say that this is the worst spot, the worst matchup, because the 49ers, the Seahawks have been incredible against running backs this year. They have done a very good job of shutting down running backs. You know, we saw it last week with Christian McCaffrey, who, you know, yes, they got blown out, but like we've seen it multiple times this year whenever they face Christian McCaffrey, shutting him down. Like, I have real concern with Kyron. Now, Kyron can get there by scoring a couple touchdowns, you know, once they get down there. But efficiency-wise, I don't think it's going to be there unless they utilize him again in the passing game. Because if they don't, then I think that he's somebody that I probably would shy away from, especially being the most expensive running back on the slate. And he's probably going to be right there with Kenneth Walker as probably the most highest-owned running back on the slate.
Yeah. No, that's it's tough, Kev. It really is, like, especially when we get, like, you know, into these two gamers and not really, you know, this would have been so much more fun if we had, you know, Zach Charbonnet healthy. This would have been so much more fun if we have, like, a situation like the Bears, right, where it's DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manunga, and you have to, like, you know, you can see some of these RB2s really popping. But, like, we just don't have that security this week. So you got to choose from the starters. I mean, you know, to a certain extent, like, hey, you know, you're playing against Patriots fans and on this slate, and then somebody takes Travion Henderson, and he we talk about it, Kevin. He can always rip off a 50. You know, he could rip off a 50 and maybe become optimal, you know, just off of that. But it's just trust. Tough to trust the work.
When it's a two gamer, you're gonna have that one player that
you're gonna have it. Yeah.
You're like, well, all right, this slate's done. Let's move on to the showdown slate for the ninth slate.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, this would be, you know, obviously pass catcher is always that, but you could definitely get a little bit weird just by doing like Henderson or Corum. I mean, those are the only two though, Kev, that I would trust. I can't really get more off the board than that on the slate this week when we can you know, fit in some stuff with the way we got value. Let's toss it over to wide receiver, Kev, and talk about this. And I mean how, like, Puka and JSN are just they're the two best plays on the slate, Kev. Like, Puka is going to he's going to see 12, 13 targets. I mean, that's just what it is. Like, if not more. I mean, he's going to be force-fed the ball in this matchup. This defense is so they just wreak havoc. They can do so much that I just don't see ways how they don't say we just need to get the ball into Puka's hands, let him yak, and you know, get the ball out quick so Stafford isn't under duress. Like, he just is going to get hammered and peppered with targets on a slate that pays you, you know, a point per reception. Like, he's just the best play on the slate to me. And then JSN, you know, if we expect points to be scored in this game, you know, JSN really, you know, the trajectory for him has been absolutely phenomenal this year. Where he kind of disappoints, right, is that if the volume isn't there. But, like, in a situation like this, with the Rams on the other side, like, I expect the pace to be pushed. So if they're going to be pushed and throwing, like, he's in play. He's only 8K. Like, it seems crazy because it's 8K. He's the second highest priced receiver, but, like, he's only 8K. Like, he should be closer to where Puka is. And like, it stops and starts there for me at the wide receiver position. Like, I just am finding ways to get to these two guys. I think the other, you know, if I was playing Stafford, which I'm not in single entry this week, at least as it stands right now. But, like, if I played Matthew Stafford, I would want to get both Puka and Devontae both in the lineup. I'd try and figure it out from there. And then maybe it becomes, you know, JSN gets squeezed in that regard. But I would be trying to figure out ways, you know, to make it to where maybe I could play all three of them. Who knows if you could do that. But I guess I haven't even tried to build around that, but that would be the way for me to kind of play it. you know, the other guys who are really intriguing to me, I mean, I won't even, you know, you can have your shine with Pat Bryant. If Pat Bryant's out there, the dude looked phenomenal. Like, I guess you could, you kind of alluded to it, like, that's with Bo Nix, but, like, did he see more work with Stidham, like, before he was getting going? That's an interesting call, Kev. So, like, I mean, he definitely would be in play at 4,400. You know, Marvin Mims was looking to be somewhat of a more popular piece. I don't want to say chalk, but just popular piece to be able to, you know, pair with Stidham and fit all the dudes. That definitely will dwindle down for me. If these guys are active, I think so two interesting names for me are they're both under 4K. Cooper Kupp, I kind of alluded to him when I was talking about Sam Darnold. He's only 3,800. He's going against his former team, Kev. Like, how many more years does Cooper Kupp have? Like, he's got a chance to, you know, get another ring. Like, you know, I think that he might have a little bit left in the tank to kind of show out in this game. I've kind of been, you know, impressed, I guess is a word. I mean, it was only one game, but like, he looked spry in that San Francisco game. Again, they didn't have to do much, but like, it was like, okay, damn, like, Cooper Kupp's out there like balling. Like, yeah, it's only 5 for 60, but like, he was making plays, and that was just good to see. So like, that was in a game where they had control. If they're in a game where it's like a shootout game, like, I don't know, man. Dude, I'm not going to say we get vintage Cooper Kupp. I'm not saying he's going to go out there and put up Puka lines. But, like, on the other side is Puka. Like, this is a dude who, like, they work together with. And Puka's, like, the new Cooper Kupp, right? And so, I don't know, man. There's something there, I feel like, that, you know, he could really want to show out, like, against his former team at 3,800. And then Matt Collins at 3,900 getting activated. I think he's a real interesting piece. You know, he kind of muddies the water there for New England. But he's been a big playmaker for Drake May, you know, this season. And he's really found a way. And that's what, you know, that's with Booty being out there. That's with Douglas being out there. Obviously, Diggs and Henry are going to be, you know, staple cogs. But, you know, I really think Matt Collins could find his way into something, you know, big play explosive, that would definitely make him intriguing for me. So those are two names at 3K that I want. I mean, in the mid K range, like, you know, I played Sutton last week because he was Bo Nix, and I thought he would, you know, he was had decent volume, but like, I you know, I'm not gonna play Sutton. Like, Diggs is, you know, I felt like I got on Diggs last week, and even with the touchdown, like, if he's only putting up 14 or 15, like, is that enough, or is there cheap guys who can put up 10 to 12 where you don't want to pay that 5,800 for him? So, you know, I really, you know, that's why I'm looking at guys like Matt Collins and Cooper Kupp, Kev, because I do just want to just get Puka and JSN into this lineup and just figure it out from there. What are you thinking about with the wide receiver position, and you know, how are you building out your teams? Well, we're usually talking to people about stack, over stack, and do that, but on a two-game slate, I really do think we have to, you know, chase for the points, right? We want the raw points and try and get those. How are you building around that, Kev?
Well, Matt Collins is one we're going to have to monitor. He was designated to return, but it doesn't mean he's going to play. That just basically opened up his practice window from IR. Because, like, I don't think you want him to play if, like, you're wanting to play Kayshon Booty because of the type of roles that he plays. And I think it really just kind of muddies the situation even more with just adding another pass catcher in here, I think, at least with Booty. Like, because he is definitely the downfield threat. And I think once you put Matt Collins in there, back in there, like, he probably sees a little more opportunities because – I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, in the playoffs, I mean, Booty's been really pretty solid play, and really unlimited targets because he's not a guy who draws heavy target share. He's usually 4 or 5 targets, but he's going to see, you know, especially in the red zone, but, you know, probably 2 or 3 deep targets in a game. But with Matt Collins back, I think that limits a little bit. I think as far as some of the other options you have here, like the other one too, I think if Troy Franklin doesn't play because he's only been getting limited practices, then I think Marvin Mims is fine because then I think as a play, because I think Cortland Sutton is going to see a lot of Christian Gonzalez, which then I think opens stuff up for the secondary wide receivers. And Marvin Mims is still a deep threat. It's somebody they're going to try to get the ball to. And I think he would be a better option if Troy Franklin is out. And so that's another situation to monitor, but I'm shocked that Pat Bryant is playing in this game, considering he's coming off a concussion. That was his second concussion so far this year.
And so, like, there is some concern with playing Pat Bryant because, you know, if he hits his head again, this could be a huge issue. And, again, I'm kind of shocked that he has already been cleared and, this quickly, too. I mean, it's Thursday. You know, I mean, I would have figured at the very least he would have cleared Friday. But, I mean, the fact that he's already cleared and good to go. But, there's some concern there, too, with him. But, I mean, it was so hard because, like, he was looking phenomenal last week. You know, come in, 3 catches, 32 yards, looked like he was going to ball.
That's your guy.
Yeah, and then just gets that concussion. And it was weird because, like, it didn't look like he had hit his head that hard, whatever he did. So, like, I was a little bit surprised. But so I still like Pat Bryant. I don't mind getting there with him. But I think as the top guys, yes, you're going to stat. There's nothing to talk about, Puka and JSN. Both these dudes are the respective alphas. I will say Devontae Adams hasn't really, you know, he's been okay. Like, last week we saw a little bit of a drop-off from him. But some of it's coincided with Matthew Stafford hasn't been playing very well either. So it's not necessarily on him. But he went from the 13-target game down to the 6-target game. I don't think Devontae Adams is going to carry any ownership. I think he's actually really solid leverage. And so, like, I don't mind getting Devontae. Like, they're gonna get him opportunities inside the red zone. He's gonna get end zone targets. He hasn't really gotten there, and he's gonna carry probably very little ownership. And so, Devontae Adams, I do like him. I think I think Stephon Diggs, I don't see them using Surtain to. I don't know if they're going because Surtain doesn't travel into the slot. I think you see Diggs travel into the slot and try to, you know, create mismatches and matchups there with Stephon Diggs. And so unless they decide to put Surtain in the slot, which is something they typically don't do, then I still think Diggs can be fine there in that spot. I would have more interest in Booty as long as Mac Hollins plays. If Hollins plays, I'm probably not going to be that excited to play Kayshon Booty because I just think it overall hurts him. And again, I think, you know, the other one we're going to really want to see is Troy Franklin, because then I think that does open up Marvin Mims, who it's super frustrating with him because it feels like anytime a dude gets like real opportunity, he maximizes it. And like they just, for whatever reason, with Sean Payton, do not try to get him the ball more. I just don't understand it.
It is frustrating. It's just one of the things, like a Sean Payton offense, like where you're rooting for your guys to do well, just never feels good. So we've had that time and time again when he was at the Saints, and it's trickled down to Denver as well. So and there is that uncertainty with Stidham. You know, we just don't know. But I agree with you. If we do get, you know, one of those pass catchers out for Denver for sure, then Mims probably is safe, and you know his ownership will probably reflect as such, because again, he allows for you to get a lot of the high end pieces, the popular pieces, into your build.
I do think the Cup one is I had a lot of Cup too, and I was real upset whenever they just blew him out because they just didn't have to throw the ball anymore. But he actually led the team in targets last week with 5 and 36% target per out run rate. He also ran 73% of the routes, which I think was positive. Had a really good 4.29 yard per route run, which was easily the best among the wide receivers. But so like I do think Cooper Kupp is in play. Like he definitely looked really good. And like it's pretty much him and JSN that drew targets. I think he only threw the ball 17 times. And so like it does make it a little bit tougher to see. But I will say Rashid Shaheed still ran 11 routes, only targeted twice. And then, you know, the other guys were like Jake Bobo who drew a target. But I mean, all these guys were, you know, probably more, a little bit more garbage time. AJ Barner, I think, you know, like he also didn't see any targets last week, but again, so I think overall, like I think Cooper Kupp, JSN, those are the two that make the most sense from the Seattle side. And Cooper Kupp, I think it makes a lot, especially at $3,800. I think is a really solid value play.
Yeah, I'm on the Kupp. I'm on the Kupp train this week. That's my guy. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what comes to fruition on that one. Kev, real quick, any interest in in these LA Rams, you know, ancillary pieces? I mean, you know, Munfield, you know, he's been getting in and off the field. Jordan Winnington, you know, comes back. He's 3,100. Like, I don't know how much weight, you know, these guys carry, but I know you're playing Tony Max. Like, would you allow yourself to be getting exposure to them? I honestly don't even know what you could do with the salary by playing a guy like, you know, Munfield and Whittington. So it just might be like putting money on the table and, just trying to get raw points, I guess, from them in a Stafford stack. But are there any like ancillary things like that stick off the page to you at this current juncture in time?
Well, it was kind of interesting last week because the Rams and the Seahawks have been like two of the top teams running 12 personnel, like running it like 40-50% of the time. And last week they completely dropped off. Like, I think they went down to like 10% in terms of 12 personnel usage, which that's what opened the door for Jordan Whittington to, you know, play a lot. Like, I mean, he ran 47% of his routes from the slot last week. And so, I mean, he ran 50% of the total routes, which was actually higher than Munfield as the other wide receiver. And so I don't know if they go back to that or not. Like, I don't know if that was just a shift for that game, something they saw, you know, in terms of a game plan. Because, like I said, this has been a team that had been really heavy 12 personnel, and that's what had made, like, Puka and Devontae Adams, because, you know, those guys, they were just – you didn't really have a third wide receiver on the field all that much. And so I think – you know, I think that's going to be like an area to kind of look at, but I don't like, I think you could play Jordan Whittington as like a one-off or something like that, or like as part of a stack or something like that. I mean, but I don't know if like he didn't really, I mean, he saw two targets right in that game. And despite him, you know, running 50% of the route, still only drew two targets. Munfield actually drew four, he only ran 33% of the route. So, you know, yes, you could get there, but it wouldn't be something I'd make a priority.
Fair enough. You like the off the board plays. You're the king of that. So I knew you'd have something to discuss there. And that's a good call out, Kev, with the personnel, because they got three tight ends who have seemingly been in play, and it just is freaking roulette with these Rams guys on who's going to get going. Speaking of tight ends, Kev, you know, let's toss it over there. You talked about how gross the position is this week, and you couldn't have been more right. I mean, you know, highest price guy on the slate, Hunter Henry, who's tough to trust. You know, he can be really, really solid with Drake May and those stacks if he's catching a touchdown. If he's not, you know, is it going to be Austin Hooper who ends up coming to fruition? It really makes it a little bit gross. Then we got, you know, the likes of A.J. Barner and Evan Ingram to go along with these three Rams tight ends that we were talking about. I do think, you know, I like A.J. Barner, you know, at 4K. Like I said, disappointed last week, but how often did they need to throw? Now they find themselves, you know, in a position where, there could be more dropbacks for Sam Darnold. Cole Kmet, Colson Loveland saw, you know, a ton of targets. He just had a case of the dropsies last week. But, you know, a tight end position has been targeting this Rams defense. So what with Barner, you know, Barner, that's what gets me on Darnold, Kev, is like I can play JSN, I can play Cooper Kupp, I can play A.J. Barner with him, triple stack, you know, or I guess quadruple stack if you factor in JSN and then, you know, get the leverage completely off of Walker if the touchdowns are going the way of the air. So Barner's one. And then I am interested in Evan Ingram a little bit. I mean, talk about a guy who is tough to trust. It's like, you know, I find it hard to be telling people to spend their hard-earned dollars on a guy like Evan Ingram. But, you know, we have to look at the situation that's at hand here. You know, Stidham is coming in off the bench. They probably are going to scheme some short yardage work, you know, to be able to get going. Like, does that affect, you know, Evan Ingram a little bit more than we think? And he's only 3,300. Like, you know, really this week you're wanting – you know, you either want the volume or you want a touchdown from this tight end position. And like that's just where we want to target it. Also, you know, if we can save some salary, that would be great too. So like getting 4,800 Hunter Henry, like not on a team that, you know, has Drake May anchoring it, not really going to be for me. I probably want to pay down for the Rams cheap guys or Evan Ingram, or, you know, play J.J. Barner with Sam Darnold. It would be a way I attack it. That's where I'm leaning. Kev, I wish I had you know, more to say about these Rams guys. I really just have no idea what's going on here. You know, 1 week it's Parkinson, the next week it's Tyler Higbee. Oh, no way. Tyler Ferguson's going to be our deep threat and the guy we're going to target in the end zone when it's not Davante Adams. Like, it's so Russian roulette. And then you got to factor in Davis Allen as well, too, at 2,500. Like, is he going to find pay dirt? I have no idea what to do with these guys. I don't know how you can trust any one of these guys. Maybe Parkinson, maybe, you know, on a team that does, that isn't anchored by Matthew Stafford. But like for me, it's like I can't even get there, you know, even on Stafford teams on who it would be. Like, do you have a read on these LA Rams tight ends? And what are you doing at the position this week?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, just looking at, so, I mean, just through the playoff, right, because Higbee hasn't been back for very long. So Parkinson still is – I mean, he's running 50% of the routes compared to Higbee, who is only running about 30% of the routes. So, like, Parkinson still is, like, the clear guy that's running a lot of routes. He's seen 10 targets, and that's the most of any tight end that's remaining left, like, through the playoffs. So, like, I think Parkinson's still in play. I think Parkinson would be the guy that I went to for the Rams. 3,500. He's not expensive at all. Whether that's in a stack or if you want to play him one off, I think you can do that too. So like I think Parkinson's in play. I will say Barner, who hasn't done any. I mean, they only played the one game, so you know it doesn't really matter. But in the games that they've played against the Rams, like he has gotten it. He's 4 for 49 in a touchdown in week 16, and then when they played earlier before that, that was the game he saw 11 targets, 10 catches, 70 yards. So again, you know, if they're trying to get the ball out of their hands really quickly, especially with, you know, if they're missing, you know, their offensive tackle, Charles Cross is out, like if they're going to need to get the ball out quickly. So somebody like AJ Barner could benefit from that. And so like, you know, again, you know, in the two games he played, he saw 16 targets. And so, you know, I think Barner, I think nobody's going to want to play him. And, you know, the Rams have been susceptible at times to tight ends. So I like him. No, Ingram, I think, is the interesting one because he's also not going to draw any ownership, I think. And he hasn't really been utilized, but he does play in the slot. Again, yeah, I think what you talked about, you know, wanting to get the ball out of Stidham's hand quickly, that could open things up for someone like Evan Ingram, who really hasn't been utilized at all. You know, the entire time he's been with Denver, like he's been kind of an afterthought. But, you know, in this spot, in this game, like, I think there is at least a path for him to maybe see 5 or 6 targets. And on a slate where there's no clear-cut tight end, like, we don't have Colson Loveland, you know, on this slate to, you know, to go to, or Dalton Kincaid, who make a ton of sense, where I think getting a little bit different for someone like Evan Ingram, you know, in a stack with Jarrett Stidham, I do think makes a lot of sense. And New England at times this year has really struggled against the tight end position. You know, we saw the Texans last week. They targeted their tight ends a ton last week. We saw Harrison Bryant, who came in at the end. He saw 6 targets in that game. We saw Dalton Schultz before he got hurt. You know, he saw 6 targets in that game. Cade Stover, before he got hurt in that game, you know, saw 2 or 3 targets. So, like, there was a clear-cut effort to try to get the ball to the tight end position. And so, you know, I think, you know, you could look there, you know, with Evan Ingram.
Yeah, no, I did. Great call there, Kev. So, yeah, I mean, he'll be in play, like, if there's a guy who misses too. But even if not, I still think I like Evan Ingram if people are going to just go to the wide receivers there instead. But, yeah, ugliest tight end slate that we've had to cover in a long time, especially on the year that we had with the renaissance at the tight end position, Kev. Let's talk about defense for the people, and we could close it out. Everybody rocking along with us, appreciate you. DJ Nation Podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority, breaking down the NFL DFS conference picks for conference championship weekend for Sunday main slate. And, you know, defense, Kev, I mean, we got 4 solid ones. Patriots at top at 3,500, all the way down to the Broncos, only 2,500, Kev, against the New England Patriots. Like, that just for me is just like click and play, like move on to the next. Like, what are we doing here? I do think like $3,300 Seattle defense is interesting and intriguing to me. I think, you know, if people aren't playing Broncos for free, I shouldn't say for free, but if they're not playing Broncos for 2,500, Rams, I expect to be the next popular one at 2,800, even with them being on the road because of Sam Darnold being on the other side. But for me, it's Broncos and Seahawks this week. What are you liking at the defense position?
Definitely like the Broncos. I don't know why the Broncos are 2,500. It just doesn't make a lot, and especially with the problem, like I've said, I mean, with Drake May have been sacked 10 times through, you know, these two games, like going against a defense that leads the league in sacks, like that seems like a mistake here. So, like, I love the Broncos at 2,500. And then I actually like the Rams at 2,800. You know, yeah. We talk about, like I said, like they're missing so many pieces on their offensive line. They're missing, you know, their pass blocking, you know, running back and Zach Charbonnet. Like, it feels like there could be some real problems here and that, you know, Sam Darnold could get sacked. And so, and possibly, you know, and turn the ball over. It's not like, you know, especially Sam Darnold, you know, couldn't do that. So, to me, it's the Broncos and the Rams. It's a $2,500 and $2,800 defense.
Yep. No, that makes sense. I mean, it's a fun slate from that defense perspective. You know, shout out to the people who are playing $3,500 New England Patriots D against Jared Stidham, who could be popular. And then New England goes out and scores 20 points. So shout out to them just ahead of time, because I probably will not be doing that on the majority of my teams. So yeah, that was how they'll come to fruition. But Kev, we got a Millie Maker team to build for the people. One of our last ones, right, for the slate, as we only got the Super Bowl to break down next with the DGen Nation fam before we call it into the season. So let me pull up the 2.75 Millie Maker here. $1 million in the first. You got to love it. Only on a two-game slate. 129,000 plus entries with the $25 entry fee, Kev. Who's going to be the anchor for this team? Who are we starting off with and building around?
I mean, I think we talked about it. If we both like it, we got to go Jared Stidham. Yeah, Jared Stidham team.
I love it. Let's go ahead. I'll let you pick a stack partner potentially, but let's just go ahead and throw in Evan Engram for cheap at 3,300.
I wish I was sharing my screen. I already have Stidham and Engram in, so. Give me, you know, as a run back, give me Ramondre.
All right, perfect. Then let's go ahead and just throw in Puka.
So just throw in JSN too.
Yeah, that's how we got to do it. All right, so we got 4,800 left for running back, a wide receiver, flex, and defense. I think, you know, even with Engram, we're a little bit off the board. I'm trying to think how we can get even more. We're just going to throw in Broncos defense there. So we got 5K left. Let's throw in Harvey on this build.
Well, and the flex, give me Kenneth Walker.
All right. So then we're left there. Let's, all right. So if I'm not mistaken, Kev, our team so far is Stidham, Stevenson, RJ Harvey, Puka Nacua, JSN, open spot, Engram, and Kenneth Walker were Broncos D.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. Let's just go Harvey and Pat Bryant. 200 left on the table.
How would you feel? Except for one question.
Here we go.
Well,
I'll say this, Kev, before you even say something, the only other thing that I was looking at doing was upping Harvey to Kyron and then playing Cooper. I'd be fine with it. I feel like if Stidham is really going to get 17 or 18, like we're banking on him throwing two touchdowns to Engram. So I feel like we would want a Denver pass catcher in there. But, you know, I'm willing to go Kyron and I guess somebody, but I would much rather play Bryant than anybody else if he were healthy, because it's only a concussion. Like I mean, I'm willing to risk that.
Well, I was going to say, instead of playing Harvey, if you played Davante Adams and then, you know, play Pat Bryant or Marvin. I was going to say Marvin Mims, but Pat Bryant's fine with me too. Obviously, I love Pat Bryant.
Oh, I see. Not doing three running backs.
Yeah, so you would do Stevenson, Walker at running back, and then in the flex, you'd do Davante Adams.
So Davante over Kyren, and just hope the passing touchdowns come, but you don't need Stafford.
It is tough having double without him. But at the same time, it's basically being able to get everybody else in. Because you really can't.
That's why I think we go – you go Puka and Kyren, right? You go Puka, Kyren.
Which we, well, I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah, we could do Kyren. You just have to, I mean, you could, yeah, I guess you could go Cup, I guess, if you wanted to, but
let's see, we'll keep it like that. Basically, you know, I think there's a path here for this to hit, Kev, where it's like, okay, Stidham, you know, maybe he throws two touchdowns and, you know, one of them isn't to Pat Bryant, who we would have had, but he throws, you know, to little Jordan Humphrey, you know, and then one goes to Ingram. So, like, we get the two touchdowns for him, but we have one of the guys, Rams score touchdowns, you know, Puka doing all the work. Maybe he catches one. Kyren gets in the box one or two times. We got three Seattle guys to, I guess, be able to offset the Kenneth Walker leverage there. And we're hoping for Stevenson to, you know, have a game as the bring back there with even with Broncos on the other side. Yeah, I like how this is set up. $200 left on the table. We're trying to go for the millie. Let's enter this in. And that's going to be our championship week build, Kev. You got any final words for the people before we sign off here for a championship week? And then wait two more weeks, right, to get in front of the people again for the last show of the year, breaking down the Super Bowl.
No, I mean, it's two games late. So, obviously, you know, you're not going to be able to avoid the chalk. So, like, I think something like this where, you know, you could play, obviously, you know, Puka and JSN are definitely going to be, you know, they're going to be massively popular as they should be, you know, but just really trying to find a couple of different avenues to get a little bit different. Or, you know, another aspect too is just leaving a lot of money on the table. You know, you don't necessarily have to, you know, get in every single dollar, you know, on the slate. Like, you know, I think these are different ways. It's kind of like it's very similar to a showdown slate of, you know, where, you know, you're trying to get a little bit different. You know, you still want your lineup to tell a story, but, you know, where can you get a little bit different, you know, on this slate, in this two-game slate? So that's kind of the way that I look at this slate. So,
hell yeah. No, it's, I mean, you definitely want to be able to find those spots, right? But like you said, we don't want to get too cute and position ourselves into a hole where we're trying to climb out of, just like, you know, taking shots on them. I mean, the popular plays are going to be popular for a reason, right? They're going to project well. Like, you don't want to just disregard projections at all, but definitely make sure that, you know, you can talk yourself into your lineup, you know, telling a story and making, you know, maybe one, two pivots max off of what would tend to be a little bit more popular build to just take chances that way. And have fun. Yeah, have fun out there in the streets. We, you know how we do it. DJ Nation fam, we're always trying to, you know, stay in these streets and play in all the slates. I know Kev will be talking about Showdown and everything that he wants to be, you know, maximizing on the weekend, as we're, you know, we only got a couple slates left of NFL to be able to break down. Then we go into hiatus where we're just wishing that we had, you know, preseason on our screen. So it'll be a fun one. It'll be a fun one.
I mean that NASCAR's coming up. I mean, for sure.
Like I said, we'll be in the doldrums until we get to preseason football.
Major League Baseball.
And I digress. Yeah. Baseball. Yeah. Basketball as well, too. But nothing beats football. Nothing beats breaking it down with the DJ Nation fam. DJ Nation fam, that is the NFL DFS conference picks breakdown from you know, myself, Ryan Williams at Ryan Alexander underscore W is where you can find me on Twitter at XN Kev Steele. The Godfather of TFA himself at Fantasy Raf 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Follow the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X at FF underscore Authority. We will see you in the DFS streets. We hope to see you in the DFS streets, and we will see you in a couple of weeks again for that Super Bowl breakdown. But until then, you guys already know what to do. Get this money. Peace.
Talking to, well, you better get used to the way the war back. I see what you got, inventions and ounces, but that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Dangerous. Think you're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man.